is another way of knowing. Many people continue to perpetuate the experience of not enough in their lives simply because they don't think beyond the reality of what they're actually experiencing. In other words, if they're experiencing the shortage of money and are aware of it and speak of it often, they hold themselves in that chronic position. And so many people protest when we explain to them the power of telling the story of their finances as they want it to be rather than as it is, because they believe that they should be factual about what's happening. But we want you to understand that if you continue to look at what is and speak of what is, you'll not find the improvement that you desire. You may see a parade of changing faces and places, but your life experience will essentially show no improvement. If you want to affect substantial change in your life experience, you have to offer substantially different vibrations, which means you must think thoughts that feel different as you think them.
Lackful action doesn't pay off.
Well, Abraham, many years ago, I owned a motel down near El Paso, Texas, and H.L. Hunt, who at that time was one of the wealthiest men in the United States, he was one of the multi-billionaires, called me. He had purchased, it's called Ojo Caliente, a small resort down on the Rio Grande River that was financially failing, and he'd heard that I might have some useful information to help him turn it around. As we were visiting in my little coffee shop, I had a difficult time focusing on our conversation because I just couldn't understand why a man that wealthy would be still discontent and looking for a way of making more money. I wondered why he didn't just sell the place at whatever price and go on about his life enjoying the money he had already accumulated. And I have another friend who's in the multi-billionaire class. We were in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, walking on the beach and a few years ago, and he was talking about some business problems he was having. And it really struck me that that man, so wealthy, would have any kinds of troubles. But what I've learned from you, Abraham, and I've learned a lot from you, is that our true success in life is not about how much money we have or about having the things, right?
The things that you have and the things that you do are all meant to enhance your state of being. In other words, it's all about how you feel, and how you feel is all about coming into alignment with who you really are. When you tend to your alignment first, then the things you gather and the actions you perform only enhance your good-feeling state of being. But if you do not find that vibrational balance first, an attempt to make yourself feel better by bringing more things into your experience or participating in more activities in order to try to make yourself feel better, you just get further out of balance. We're not guiding you away from accumulating things or from taking action, because all of that is an essential part of your physical experience. In other words, you intended the wonderful experience of exploring the details of your physical world in order to help you personally determine your own joyous growth and expansion. But when you try to move forward from an imbalanced footing, it's always uncomfortable. If you'll begin by identifying how you want to feel or be, and then let your inspiration to accumulate or do come from that centered place, then not only will you maintain your balance, but you will now enjoy the things that you gather and the things that you do. Most people do most of their wanting from a place of lack. They want things in many cases simply because they do not have them. So the having of them does not really satisfy anything deep within them, because there's always something else that they do not have. And so it becomes a never-ending struggle to try to bring one more thing that still will not be satisfying, into their experience. Because I don't have this, I want it. And then they really think that getting it will fill the void. But that defies law. Any action that's taken from a place of lack is always counterproductive, and it always leads to more of a feeling of lack. The void that these people are feeling cannot be filled with things or satisfied with action, because the feeling of void is about the vibrational discord between their desires and their chronic habits of thought. Offering better feeling thoughts, telling a different story, looking for positive aspects, pivoting to the subject of what you really do want, looking for positive what-ifs, that's how you fill that void. And when you do, a most interesting thing will occur in your experience. The things you have wanted will begin to flood into your experience. But these things that you've been wanting will flood into your experience not to fill your void, because that void no longer exists. They flow in because your void no longer exists. Certainly, you will gather many magnificent things into your experience. Our message is not for you to stop wanting, having, or doing. Our message is for you to want and accumulate and do from your place of feeling good.
Neither money nor poverty makes joy.
Abraham, there's a saying that money doesn't make for happiness. But on the other hand, I've noticed that poverty doesn't make for happiness either. But still, it's obvious that money isn't the path to a happiness. So, If the idea of achieving something does bring us happiness, does that mean that the achievement is an appropriate goal for us to set? And how does a person maintain his or her feeling of happiness when reaching one's goal is taking a lot of their time and energy? In other words, it often seems it's a sort of uphill climb to reach the goal, and then there's a short plateau of rest, but then an almost immediate tedious climb to achieve the next goal. In other words, how does a person keep all of the climbing toward their goals joyous so there's not that struggle, 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 and then, wow, I've made it, and then struggle, 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 and, oh, here, I've made it again.
You're right. Money is not the path to happiness. And as you've observed, poverty certainly is not the path to happiness either. It's so important to remember that when you offer any action for the purpose of achieving happiness, you're truly going about it in a backward way. Instead, use your ability to focus your thoughts and words toward things that cause you to feel better and better. And once you've deliberately achieved a state of happiness, not only will wonderful actions be inspired, but wonderful results must follow. Most people give the majority of their attention to whatever is happening in their experience right now, which means if the results please them, they feel good, but if the results do not please them, they feel bad. But that's really going about life the hard way. If you only have the ability to see what is, then things cannot improve. You must find a way to look optimistically forward in order to achieve any improvement in your experience. When you learn how to deliberately focus your thoughts toward good-feeling things, it's not difficult to find happiness and maintain it even before your goal has been accomplished. The feeling of struggle you were describing happens because of the continual comparison of where you are right now in relationship to the goal you're reaching for. When you're constantly taking score, noticing the distance that still needs to be traveled, you amplify the distance, the task, the effort, and that's why it feels like such an uphill struggle. When you care about how you feel, and so you choose thoughts on the basis of how they feel, you then develop patterns of thought that are more forward-looking. And as the law of attraction then responds to those better-feeling thoughts, you get more pleasing results. Struggle, struggle, struggle never leads to a happy ending. It defies law. When I get there, then I'll be happy, is not a productive mindset, because unless you're happy, you can't get there. When you decide to first be happy, then you'll get there.
I am here as a joyful creator.
You're not here as accumulators or regurgitators. You're here as creators. When you're looking toward an ending place, you exaggerate the feeling of lack between where you are now and that ending place. And that habit of thought can not only slow the progress of your creation, but can hold it apart from you indefinitely. You are the attractor of your experience. As you look for positive aspects and make an effort to find good-feeling thoughts, you will hold yourself in a place of positive attraction, and what you want will come faster. The sculptor of a work of art does not derive his greatest satisfaction from the finished piece. It is the process of creation, the sculpting of the piece, that gives him pleasure. That's the way we would like you to view your physical experience of creating, continual, joyful becoming. As you focus your attention upon things that feel good and achieve a consistently joyful state of being, you'll then be in the position of attracting more of whatever you want. Sometimes people complain that it seems unfair that they have to become happy before things that bring them more happiness can then come to them. They believe that when they are unhappy, they need the happy events to come. But when they're already happy, then the happy events are unnecessary. But that would defy the law of attraction. You have to find a way of feeling the essence of what you desire before the details of that desire can come to you. In other words, you have to begin to feel more prosperous before more prosperity can come. Often people tell us that they want more money. And when we ask them what their balance of thought is about money, they tell us that they have a very positive attitude about money. But as we probe a bit deeper, asking them how they feel when they sit to pay their bills, they often then realize that while they may have been attempting to sound positive about the subject, they've actually been feeling a great deal of worry or even fear around the subject of money. In other words, often without realizing it, the majority of their thoughts about money have been on the not enough side of the subject rather than on the abundant side of the subject.
The power of vibrationally spending vibrational money.
Here's a process that can quickly help you shift the balance of your thoughts regarding money to a place where you can begin to let more money flow easily into your experience. Put $100 in your pocket and keep it with you at all times. As you move through your day, deliberately notice how many things you could exchange this money for. I could purchase that. I could do that. Someone said to us that $100 doesn't really buy that much in today's economy, But we explained that if you mentally spend that $100 1,000 times today, you've vibrationally spent $100,000. That sort of positive focus will dramatically change your vibrational balance about money. This vibrational spending process will cause you to feel differently about money. And when that happens, your point of attraction will shift, and more money must flow into your experience. It is law. Someone said to us, "I didn't have $100, but I put an IOU in my pocket." And we said, "That's defeating the process, because you're walking around with a feeling of debt in your pocket, which is exactly the opposite of what you want to do. You want to feel your prosperity. And so even if it's only 20 or 50, or if it's 1,000 or 10,000 that you have in your pocket, utilize it effectively to help you notice how good things are now. Because in your acknowledgement of your prosperous now, your prosperity must become more."
Needing money won't attract it.
Abraham, one of my greatest disappointments as I've worked to help people find greater financial success is that those who needed the money the most had the least success with what I was teaching them, while those who needed it the least seemed to have the most success with it. That always seemed backward to me. It seemed like those who needed it more would try harder, and eventually they should have succeeded.
Anyone who is in a place of lack, no matter how much action they offer, attracts more lack. In other words, the powerful feeling outweighs any action that they offer. Any action that's offered from a place of lack is always counterproductive. Those who were not feeling need were not in a place of lack, so their action was productive. Your experience was in absolute harmony with the law of attraction, as is every experience. There is not a shred of evidence anywhere in the universe that is to the contrary of this that we are speaking of.
Also, what I noticed was that, by and large, those people who hadn't achieved much success or weren't very interested in even hearing about achieving success were people who had been taught that to want money was evil or immoral, and that the best thing for them to do was to remain where they were, even though they were unfulfilled.
The reason that many reach a place where they say that they do not have desire is because they've wanted and wanted and wanted. But because they've not understood that every subject is two subjects, they've given more of their attention to the lack of what they have wanted than to what they want. And so they continue to attract the lack of what they want. And then eventually they were just worn down by it. As a person begins to associate wanting with not having, so much so that to want is an unpleasant experience, then he says, "I no longer want, because every time I want something, I get myself in this place of discomfort, so it's easier for me to just not want in the first place."
What if a poor one doesn't feel poor? Well, if others who are noticing you and comparing you to themselves come to the conclusion that you're poor, but you don't feel poor, then you wouldn't be in a state of lack, and so you would be able to move quickly toward more abundance in that case, right?
That is correct. Others' assessment of you has no bearing on your point of attraction, unless you're bothered by their assessment. Comparing your experience to the experiences of others can amplify a feeling of lack within you if you come to the conclusion that they have succeeded more greatly than you have, and then you activate within yourself a feeling of being less than. Also, noticing a lack of prosperity in the experiences of others does not put you in a place of attracting greater prosperity for yourself, because you'll be getting what you think about. What you draw to you or keep from you has nothing to do with what anyone else is doing. An improved feeling of prosperity, even if your current reality does not justify the feeling, will always bring more prosperity to you. Paying attention to the way you feel about money is a much more productive activity than noticing how others are doing. Allowing more money to flow into your experience requires far less than most people understand. All that's required is that you achieve a vibrational balance in your own thoughts. If you want more money but you doubt you can achieve it, you're not in balance. If you want more money but you believe there's something wrong in having money, you're not in balance. If you want more money and you're angry at those who have more money, you're not in balance. When you're feeling those emotions of inadequacy, insecurity, jealousy, injustice, anger, and so on, your emotional guidance system is letting you know that you're out of alignment with your own desire. Most people make no effort in coming into personal alignment with the subject of money. Instead, they spend years, even lifetimes, pointing out perceived injustices, attempting to define the rightness or the wrongness of the subject, and even trying to put laws in place to orchestrate the flow of money in the civilization, when a rather small effort, in comparison with the impossible attempt at controlling those outside circumstances, would yield them an enormous return. Nothing is more important than that you feel good. For when you feel good, you are in harmony with your greater intent. Many believe that hard work and struggle are not only a requirement to achieve success, but that working hard and struggling long is a more honorable way of living life. Those hard times of struggle certainly do help you in the defining of what you desire, but until you release the feeling of struggle, what you desire cannot come into your experience. Often people feel as if they need to prove their worthiness, and that once that is accomplished, then and only then will rewards be given. But we want you to know that you're already worthy, and that proving yourselves worthy is not only not possible, but not necessary. What is necessary for you to receive the rewards or benefits that you seek is alignment with the essence of those benefits. You have to first bring yourself into vibrational alignment with the experience you wish to live. We know that words do not teach, and that our knowledge regarding the laws of the universe and of your value do not necessarily mean that now you've read our words that you know your value. However, as you consider the premises that we are laying out for you here, and as you begin the application of the processes that we're suggesting here, it's our knowing that the universe's response to your improved vibration will give you the evidence of the existence of these laws. It will not be long, and it will not require much deliberate application of what you're hearing here before you will be convinced of your own value and of your ability to create whatever you desire. The primary reason that people do not believe in their own value is because they often have not found a way to get what they want, so they incorrectly assume that someone outside of them does not approve and is somehow withholding the reward. That is never true. You are the creator of your experience. Make statements such as, "I want to be the best that I can be. I want to do and have and live in a way that's in harmony with my idea of the greatest good. I want to harmonize physically here in this body with that which I believe to be the best or the good way of life." If you'll make those statements and then don't take action unless you feel good, you will always be moving upon the path in harmony with your idea of that which is good.
What is my financial abundance story?
A belief in lack is the reason that more people are not allowing themselves the financial abundance they desire. When you believe that there is a finite pile of abundance and that there's not enough to go around, and so you feel injustice when someone has more than others, believing that because they have it, others are deprived of having it, you're holding yourself apart from abundance. It's not another's achievement of success that's responsible for your lack of achievement, but rather your negative comparison and your attention to the lack of your own desire. When you feel the negative emotion that you feel as you accuse others of injustice or of squandering wealth or hoarding, or when you simply believe that there's not enough to go around, you hold yourself in the position of denying your own improved condition. What anyone else has or does not have has nothing to do with you. The only thing that affects your experience is the way you utilize the non-physical energy with your thought. Your abundance or lack of it in your experience has nothing to do with what anyone else is doing or having. It has only to do with your perspective. It has only to do with your offering of thought. If you want your fortune to shift, you have to begin telling a different story. Many people criticize those who are living well, who accumulate land and money and things, and that criticism is symptomatic of their own lackful habit of thought. They want to feel better and often believe that if they can make that which they are unable to achieve wrong, then they will feel better. But they never do feel better because their attention to lack perpetuates lack everywhere they look. They would not feel uncomfortable in seeing someone else's achievement if that desire for achievement were not present within themselves as well. And that criticism that they often keep alive within themselves only serves to hold them in vibrational discord with what they want. In other words, if someone called you on the telephone and said, "Hello, you don't know me. I'm just calling to tell you that I will never call you again," you would not feel negative emotion about the caller's absence from your life because his presence was not something that you desired to begin with. But if someone you care about were to make that announcement to you, you would feel strong negative emotion because your desire and your belief would then be at odds. When you feel negative emotion about anything, it always means that you have a desire that has been born from your personal life experience that you are right now opposing with other thoughts. Vibrational discord is always the reason for negative emotion, and negative emotion is always guidance to help you redirect your thoughts to find vibrational alignment with who you really are and with your current desires.
What if the poor criticize the rich?
Abraham, when I was a kid, I associated with poor people primarily, and we used to make fun of those who were wealthy. We criticized those who drove luxury cars, for instance. And so, as an adult, when it came time that I would like to have owned a Cadillac, I couldn't bring myself to drive one because I felt that people would now make fun of me as I'd made fun of the others. So I drove a Mercedes because years ago people kind of thought they were economy cars. But the only way I could bring myself to drive a Cadillac, which I finally did, was to bridge my thoughts by saying, well, by buying this car, I put all these people to work who put this car together. I created jobs for all the people who supplied the parts and the materials, the leather, the metal, the glass, and the craftsmen, and so on. And in that justification, then I was able to buy the car. So somehow I discovered a process of bridging my thoughts that helped me to allow that symbol of success into my experience.
Your process of bridging thoughts is an effective one. When you want to feel good and you gradually find increasingly better feeling thoughts, you're bringing yourself into alignment with your desire and you're releasing the resistance that is preventing your improved conditions. Focusing on opposing opinions of others is never productive because it always causes discord within you, which also prevents your improved condition. There will always be others who disagree with you, and your attention to them will always cause you to vibrationally disagree with your own desires. Listen to your own guidance system by paying attention to how you're feeling in order to determine the appropriateness of your desires and behaviors. There will always be someone, no matter which side of any subject you choose, who does not harmonize with you. And that's why we speak so firmly and want so much for you to understand that your greatest endeavor is to find harmony with who you really are. If you would trust in yourself, if you could believe that through all that you've lived, you've come to a place of very strong knowing, and that you can trust the way you feel as your personal form of guidance about the appropriateness or inappropriateness of what you're contemplating doing, then you would utilize your guidance system in the way that it was really intended.
What if our money loses value? Abraham, in the past, our money was primarily coins, metal that had a value in and of itself, like the $20 gold piece. The gold itself was worth $20, and the silver and the silver dollar had value. And so it seems simple to understand the value of the coin. But now, our money in and of itself has no actual value. In other words, the paper and coins are essentially valueless. I've always appreciated the convenience of money as a way of exchanging goods and talents rather than trading, let's say, a chicken for a container of milk or for a basket of potatoes. But now, our money is being artificially devalued, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to really understand the value of a dollar. In other words, it reminds me of my own searching for my own value, like how much is my talent worth, or how much should I ask for in exchange for the time and energy that I put forth. But now I'm learning from you that we don't have to consider our value in that way. We only have to consider what it is we want and then to allow it in. I'm aware that many people are feeling insecure about their financial future because they feel they don't have control over what may happen to the value of the dollar, because it's typically just a handful of people who seem to control or manipulate that. Many worry that there's going to be more inflation or even another depression. I'd like people to understand what you've been teaching us about the law of attraction so that they won't be concerned with things that are outside their control, like the value of the dollar.
You've hit upon something very essential here regarding the subject of money, because you're right, many of you are recognizing that the dollars today just are not worth what they were at one time. But that's another position of lack you very often stand firmly upon that keeps you from attracting the abundance that is yours. We'd like you to understand that the dollar and its assigned value is really not as important to your experience as you're believing, and that if you could put your attention upon what you're wanting in terms of being and then having and then doing, that all of the money or other means for bringing about what you want could then flow easily and much more effortlessly into your experience. We keep coming back to the same terminology. From your place of lack, you cannot attract its opposite. And so it really is a matter of adjusting your thinking so that your thinking harmonizes with what feels good to you. Every thought that you think vibrates, and it's by virtue of having that vibrating thought that you attract. When you think a thought of lack, that thought's vibrating at a place that is so alien to that which your inner being knows to be that your inner being cannot resonate with you at all. And the resulting feeling within you is one of negative emotion. When you think a thought of upliftment or abundance or well-being, those thoughts do harmonize with what your inner being knows to be. And under those conditions, you're filled with a feeling of positive emotion. You can trust that the way you feel is the indicator about which side of the subject that you're on. Whether it's the subject of money or lack of it, or health or lack of it, or relationship or lack of it, always when you feel good, you're in the place of attracting what you are wanting.
To reverse a downward spiral? When I would see people having financial problems, I used to worry about them. I would watch as they spiraled down, 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 till they would finally come crashing down in bankruptcy. But then, in a very short time, they'd have another new boat, and a new luxury car, and another beautiful home. In other words, no one I watched seemed to stay down. But why couldn't they stop the downward spiral somewhere earlier along the way and start back upward sooner? Why did so many of them have to go all the way to the bottom before they could start back up again?
Well, the reason for any downward spiral is attention to lack. In their fear that they might lose something, or in their attention to the things that they were losing, they were focused upon the lack of what they wanted, and as long as that was their point of attention, only more loss was possible. As they felt guarded or defensive, or as they began to justify or rationalize or blame, they were on the lack side of the equation, and only more lack could be their experience. But once they hit bottom and were no longer in a place of guardedness because there was nothing else to lose, then their attention shifted, and so their vibration shifted, so their point of attraction shifted. Hitting what they believed to be the bottom caused them to begin to look up. You could say that it forced them to begin telling a different story. Your life experience has caused you to ask for many wonderful things that are making their way into your experience. But your worry or your doubt or your fear or resentment or blame or jealousy or any number of negative emotions would indicate that the predominant thoughts you were thinking were holding those things away. It would be as if you had drawn them right outside your door, but the door was closed. As you begin telling a different story of the things you could buy with your $100 bill, as you relax and focus more upon the positive aspects of your life, as you more deliberately choose the better feeling end of the vibrational stick, that door will open and you'll be flooded with manifestations of those wanted things and experiences and relationships.
A war against war is war.
Recognizing that you are the creator of your own experience and learning to deliberately do so by directing your thoughts is an adjustment for most people, because most people believe that you make things happen through action. Not only have you believed that action is what makes things happen, but you also believe that if you apply pressure to unwanted things, they'll go away. That's why you have a war against poverty, and a war against drugs, and a war against AIDS, and a war against terrorism. And although you may believe that pushing against those unwanted things will cause them to leave your experience, that's not how the laws of the universe work, and that's not the proof of your experience either, for all of those wars are getting bigger. Attention to the lack of what is wanted causes it to increase and come closer to you, just as focusing upon what is wanted causes it to increase and come closer to you. When you relax into your natural well-being, when you make statements such as, "I seek abundance and I trust the laws of the universe. I've identified the things that I want, and now I'm going to relax and allow them into my experience," more of what you desire will come. If your financial situation feels like a struggle, you're pushing your financial well-being farther away. But when you begin to feel ease regarding your financial situation, you're then allowing more abundance to flow into your experience. It really is as simple as that. And so when you see others excelling in their attraction of money and you feel negative emotion about it, that is your signal that your current thought is not allowing the abundance that you desire into your experience. When you find yourself critical of the way anyone has attracted or is using money, you're pushing money away from yourself. But when you realize that what others do with money has nothing to do with you, and that your primary work is to think and speak and do what feels good to you, then you will be in alignment not only about the subject of money, but about every important subject in your physical experience.
Can we succeed without talent? Abraham, what bearing does talent or skill or ability have on bringing abundance or money into our lives?
Very little. Those are all action aspects for the most part, and your action is responsible but for a minuscule part of what comes to you. Your thoughts and words are thoughts, articulated, are the reason that your life unfolds as it does.
So then, would you say that people with no saleable skill or talent could still receive all the financial abundance they want in their lives?
Absolutely, unless in comparing themselves to others and concluding that they have no saleable skill or talent, they feel diminished and therefore defeat their own experience with their own negative expectation. The most valuable skill that you could ever develop is the skill of directing your thoughts toward what you want. To be adept at quickly evaluating all situations and then quickly coming to the conclusion of what you most want and then giving your undivided attention to that. There is tremendous skill in directing your own thoughts that will yield results that cannot be compared with results that mere action can provide.
Can we get something without giving? So, how can a person get past the belief that they must give a dollar's worth of something in order to get a dollar's worth of something?
Your knowledge in all things comes only through life experience, but your life experience comes as a result of the thoughts that you're thinking. So even though you may have wanted something for a very long time, if your thoughts have been upon the absence of it, then it could not come to you. And so from your personal experience, you come to the conclusion that it's not possible or that it's a struggle. In other words, you come to many valid conclusions about things being hard when you've led a difficult life. It's our desire to help you to understand what is really at the heart of that self-created struggle. We want to help you to begin from a different premise and understand the laws at the basis of all things. A new understanding of the laws of the universe and a willingness to begin telling a different story will give you different results. And those different results will then give you different beliefs or knowledge. You are the one. You are the only one who can evaluate your effectiveness. No one else has the ability to discern where you stand relative to where you're wanting to be. And no one else can decide where you should be. Only you.
They want to win the lottery fortune. Many people are hoping for some major financial windfall to come to them to free them from debt or to release them from working at something they don't want to work at in order to receive money. The thing I hear them say most often is that they want to win the lottery, where they'll get their abundance in exchange for someone else losing theirs.
If their expectation were in a place that would allow it, then that could be a way for money to come to them. But most know the odds against that, and so, for most, their expectation for winning the lottery is not in a powerful place either.
So, how does hoping to win relate to expecting to win?
Well, just as hoping is more productive than doubting, expecting is much more productive than hoping.
Well, then, how could a person begin to expect something that their life experience hasn't yet shown them? In other words, how can you expect something you haven't experienced?
You do not have to have money to attract money. But you cannot feel poor and attract money. The key is you have to find ways of improving the way you feel from right where you stand before things can begin to change. By softening your attention to the things that are going wrong, and by beginning to tell stories that lean more in the direction of what you want instead of in the direction of what you've got, your vibration will shift, your point of attraction will shift, and you'll get different results. And in a short time, because of the different results you're then getting, you will then have beliefs or knowledge of abundance that will easily perpetuate more of the same. People often say the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and that's why. Look for reasons to feel good, identify what you want, and hold your thoughts in a place that feels good.
Living abundantly is not magic.
As we explain from our perspective the abundant nature of your universe and the potential for abundance that's always available to you, we understand that our knowledge does not become your knowledge only because you hear us say it. If we ask you to trust what we say or just try to understand, you cannot just adopt our understanding as your own, for it's only your own life experience that brings knowledge to you. The beliefs that you hold as a result of your own life experience are very strong, and we understand that you cannot release them immediately and replace them with others, even though we know that there are many more productive beliefs that you could foster. But there is something that you can begin today that will make a profound difference in the way your life unfolds that does not require an immediate releasing of the beliefs that you currently hold. Start telling a more positive, better-feeling story about your life and about the things that are important to you. Do not write your story like a factual document, weighing all the pros and cons of your experience, but instead tell the uplifting, fanciful, magical story of the wonder of your own life and watch what happens. It will feel like magic as your life begins to transform right before your eyes. But it's not by magic. It's by the power of the laws of the universe and your deliberate alignment with those laws.
Trading freedom for money? Well, I know we titled this book Money and the Law of Attraction, but it's really more about attracting abundance in all areas of our life. Since my childhood, we, here in the United States, have been fighting strongly against crime. And yet there's much more crime now than when I was a kid. I read recently that our nation has a higher percentage of its population in prisons than any other country in the what we call the free world. And now also, we've been fighting against illness, and yet there's more hospitals and more sick people than ever before. And there's so much more physical suffering in this nation percentage-wise now than I've ever seen. Another thing, we've been pushing against warfare in our search for world peace. And yet it seems like such a short time ago that everyone was raving, isn't it wonderful, as the Berlin Wall came crashing down, isn't it wonderful that we're finally in peace? But we hardly took four breaths till we're back in another series of wars, and now we're even putting up more walls around this nation. Also, I hear of
so much concern about child abuse and the mistreating of other people, and yet the more I hear of our pushing against child abuse, the more child abuse I hear of. It seems like everything we're trying to do to stop what we don't want isn't working for us. But the area where this nation seems to continue to go in a more positive direction is that of abundance. We have so much food and money that we're able to give the world over from our excess abundance. And I see many more material things in the hands of more people in this country than during my early years. So there have been some major positive changes here. But so many people, in their quest for more financial abundance, seem to be losing quite a bit of their personal freedom as a trade-off for the money. It seems like there are those who seem to have a lot of free time, but they have so little money that they don't enjoy their time. And then there are those with more money, but they have very little time to enjoy the money. But it's rare that I meet someone who has both an abundant flow of money combined with the time to really enjoy it. Abraham, would you please comment on your perspective of my perceptions?
Whether you're focused upon the lack of money or the lack of time, you're still focused upon the lack of something you want, and therefore holding yourself in resistance to the things you really want. Whether your negative emotion is because of your feeling of shortage of time, or whether it's because of your feeling of shortage of money, you're still feeling negative emotion, and you're still in a state of resistance, and therefore you are holding away what you really want. As you feel that you do not have enough time to do all of the things that you need or want to do, your attention to lack negatively impacts you much more than you realize. A feeling of being overwhelmed is your indicator that you are denying yourself access to ideas, rendezvous, conditions, and all manner of cooperation that could assist you if you were not disallowing them. It is an uncomfortable cycle where you feel a shortage of time, you focus upon your overloaded schedule, and then you feel overwhelmed, and in all of that, you offer a vibration that makes improvement impossible. You have to begin telling a different story. You cannot continue to comment on how much you have to do without holding assistance away. There is a cooperative universe at your fingertips, ready and able to help you in more ways than you can begin to imagine, but you deny yourself that benefit as you continue to complain about too much to do. As you feel that you do not have enough money, your attention to the lack of money disallows the avenues that could bring you more. You just cannot look at the opposite of what you want and get what you want. You have to begin telling a different story. You have to find a way to create a feeling of abundance before abundance can come. As you begin to feel freer regarding the expenditure of time and money, doors will open, people will come to assist you, refreshing and productive ideas will occur to you, and circumstances and events will unfold. As you change the way you feel, you access the energy that creates worlds. It's there for your ready access at all times.
Feeling negative with respect to dollars or cancer? Abraham, what's the difference between having a negative feeling about money, and therefore you don't get the money, and saying, I don't want cancer, but you do get cancer?
Here's the way it works. You get the essence of what you think about. And so as you're thinking about the lack of health, you're getting the lack of health. As you're thinking about the lack of money, you're getting the lack of money. You can tell by the way you feel as you're offering your thought whether you're attracting the positive or the negative aspects of the subject. The universe does not hear no. When you're saying, no, I do not want illness, your attention to the subject of illness is saying, yes, come to me, this thing I do not want. Anything you're giving your attention to is an invitation to the essence of it. When you're saying, I want money, but it will not come, your attention to its absence is the same thing as saying, come to me, absence of money, which I do not want. When you're thinking of money in the way that will make it come to you, you always feel good. When you're thinking of money in the way that keeps it from coming to you, you always feel bad. That's how you know the difference. So you're asking, if I can get cancer by focusing upon the lack of health, then why couldn't I get money by focusing upon the lack of it? The receiving of money, which you do want, is the same as the receiving of health, which you do want. The receiving of cancer, which you do not want, is the same as the receiving of no money, which you do not want. Just make sure that whatever thoughts you're thinking or whatever words you're speaking evoke from you positive emotion, and then you'll be in the mode of attracting what you do want. When negative emotion is present, you are always in the mode of attracting something you do not want.
He didn't struggle for money.
Not long ago, someone at a gathering was challenging law of attraction in a similar way as she told the story about her friend who had supported her former husband for many years. She explained how her friend had worked hard and taken care of him for all of that time and was often struggling to earn enough money to support them. Eventually, she grew tired of his unwillingness to contribute financially, and they separated. Her husband never showed any evidence that money was important to him, but now, she tells us, he has just inherited over $1 million, and now he won't share his money with his ex-wife. It doesn't seem fair, this woman said to us, that his wife cared about money and worked hard for it and received so little, while he barely worked and didn't seem to care about money at all, and now he's inherited over $1 million. How can that be? She wanted to know. We explained to her that, understanding the law of attraction as we do, this story makes perfect sense. This woman worked hard and felt resentment and was focused upon lack, and the universe matched those feelings precisely. Her husband felt ease, refused to feel guilty, expected things to come to him easily, and the universe matched those feelings precisely. Many believe that they must work hard and struggle and pay a price and feel pain, and that they will then be rewarded for their struggle. But that is not consistent with the laws of the universe. You cannot find a happy ending to an unhappy journey. That defies law. We told our friend, there's not a shred of evidence to the contrary of the law of attraction, and you had the benefit of knowing these two people, of seeing their attitudes and watching their results, one struggling, working hard, doing what society taught her to do, and not getting what she wants, while the other refused to struggle, insisted on a feeling of ease, and is the recipient of the resources that support more ease. Many would say, well, it might be consistent with the laws of the universe, but it's still not right. But we want you to know that when you get in sync with this powerful law, you will then understand the absolute justice of it. Since you have control over what you offer, what could be more just than the universe giving you exactly what you offer vibrationally? What could be more just than the powerful law of attraction responding equally to everyone who offers a vibration? Once you gain control over the thoughts you think, your sense of injustice will subside and will be replaced with the exuberance for life and the zest to create that you were born with. Let everything in the universe be an example to you of the way the laws of the universe work. If you believe that you must work hard in order to deserve the money that comes to you, then money cannot come to you unless you do work hard. But the money that comes in response to physical action is very small in comparison with what comes through alignment of thought. Surely you have noticed the enormous disparity between some people who apply tremendous action for little return, while you see others seemingly offering very little action for an enormous return. We want you to understand that the disparity exists only in the comparison of the action they're offering, but there is no disparity or injustice relative to the alignment of energies within them. Financial success or any other kind of success does not require hard work or action, but it does require alignment of thought. You simply cannot offer negative thought about things that you desire and then make up for it with action or hard work. When you learn to direct your own thoughts, you will discover the true leverage of energy alignment. Most of you are much closer to a financial fortune than you are even allowing yourself to purely desire, because in the thought that it might come, you right away begin thinking of how disappointed you will be if it does not come. And so in your lackful thought, you do not allow yourself to desire or to expect anything magnificent in terms of money. And that's the reason why, for the most part, you are living rather mediocre financial experiences. You're right when you think, money isn't everything. You certainly do not need money to have joy in your experience. But in your society, where so much of what you live is tied to money in some way, most of you associate money with freedom. And since freedom is a basic tenet of your being, then coming into alignment with money will help you establish a balanced footing that will be of value to you in all other aspects of your experience.
Is spending money comfortable?
A woman said to us one day, I always feel uncomfortable when I spend money. She told us that over time she'd managed to save quite a bit of money, but whenever she thought about spending any of it, she would freeze up and feel afraid to go another step further. We said to her, it is certainly understandable that when you believe that your money is coming to you because of the action that you're offering, and you also believe that you'll not always be able to offer the action, that you would want to hold on to your money and spend it sparingly to make it last. However, that feeling of shortage slows the process of more money flowing into your experience. If you feel uncomfortable with the idea of spending money, then we absolutely do not encourage you to spend the money while you're feeling uncomfortable, because any action taken during negative emotion is never a good idea. But the reason for your discomfort is not about the action of spending the money, but instead it's an indication that your thoughts about money in that moment are not a vibrational match to your own desire. A belief in shortage will never resonate with your broader knowing because there is no shortage. Any attention to lack of something wanted will always produce negative emotion within you because your guidance is letting you know that you've strayed from your broader basic understanding of abundance and of well-being. Find a way to ease your discomfort and eventually transform it into a feeling of hope and then into positive expectation. And then from that stable place of feeling better, that feeling of freezing up will be replaced with confidence and enthusiasm. Whether you're focused upon the shortage of money or seeing yourself as having only so many years to live and so each day that is expended is one day closer to the end of your years, that feeling of decline is contrary to your broader understanding of the eternal nature of your being. In the same way that you understand that you do not have to attempt the impossible task of drawing enough air into your lungs to last all day or all week or all year, but instead you easily breathe in and out, always receiving what you want or need whenever you want or need it, money can flow in and out of your experience with the same ease once you achieve that expectation of eternal abundance. All of the money that you want is available for you to receive. All you have to do is allow it into your experience, and as the money flows in, you can gently allow it to flow out. For like the air you breathe, there will always be more to flow. You do not have to guard your money, like holding your breath and not letting it out because there will not be any more coming. More is coming. People sometimes protest as they tell their stories of shortage or scarcity, pointing out the reality of the shortage that they have experienced or witnessed or heard about. And we understand that there are plenty of examples to point to of people who are experiencing shortages of many things that they desire. But we want you to understand that those experiences of shortage are not because abundance is not available, but instead because it is being disallowed. Continuing to tell stories of shortage only continues to contradict your desire for abundance, and you cannot have it both ways. You cannot focus on unwanted and receive wanted. You cannot focus upon stories about money that make you feel uncomfortable and allow into your experience what makes you feel comfortable. You have to begin telling a different story if you want different results. We would begin by saying, I want to feel good. I want to feel productive and expansive. My thoughts are the basis for the attraction of all things that I consider to be good, which includes enough money for my comfort and joy, which includes health and wonderful people around me who are stimulating and uplifting and exciting. Begin telling the story of your desire and then add to it the details of the positive aspects that you can find that match those desires. And then embellish your positive expectation by speculating with your good feeling, wouldn't it be nice if examples. Say things like, only good things come to me. While I don't have all of the answers and while I don't know all of the steps and I can't identify all of the doors that will open for me, I know that as I move through time and space, the path will become obvious to me. I know I will be able to figure it out as I go along. Every time you tell your better feeling story, you will feel better and the details of your life will improve. The better it gets, the better it gets.
How to change my point of attraction.
Sometimes people worry that they've been telling the story of what they do not want for such a long time that they now do not have time left in their life to make up for all those years of focusing upon the shortage of money. They have no cause for worry. Although it is true that you cannot go backward and undo all of that negative thinking, there is no reason to do that, even if you could, because all of your power is in your now. As you find a better feeling thought right now, your point of attraction shifts now. The only reason that it may seem like negative thinking that you picked up many years ago is having an impact on your life now is because you have been continuing the negative train of thought or beliefs through all of those years. A belief is only a thought you continue to think. A belief is nothing more than a chronic pattern of thought, and you have the ability, if you try a little bit, to begin a new pattern, to tell a new story, to achieve a different vibration, to change your point of attraction. Just a simple act of noticing how many things you could purchase in this one day with $100 you're carrying with you would dramatically alter your financial point of attraction. That one simple process is enough to tip the balance of your vibrational scale, enough to show you actual tangible results in your attraction of money. Mentally spend your money and imagine an improved lifestyle. Deliberately conjure a feeling of freedom by imagining what it would feel like to have a large amount of money at your disposal. You see, the law of attraction is responding to your vibration, not to the reality you are currently living. But if your vibration continues to be only about the reality you are living, nothing can change. You can easily change your point of attraction by visualizing the lifestyle you desire and holding your attention upon those images until you begin to feel relief, which is an indicator that a true vibrational shift has occurred.
my standards are mine to set.
Sometimes, from an awareness of shortage of money, you think that you want everything that you see. A sort of uncontrollable craving rises within you, which tortures you when you do not have the money to spend, or causes even more distress when you give in to the cravings and spend money you do not have, going deeper into debt. But that craving to spend money under those conditions is really a false signal, for it's not coming from a real desire to have those things. Buying one more thing and bringing it home will not satisfy that craving, for what you're really feeling is a void that can only be filled by coming into vibrational alignment with who you really are. You are currently feeling insecure, when who you really are is someone who is absolutely secure. You are currently feeling inadequate, when who you really are is someone who is adequate. You're feeling lack, when who you really are is someone who is abundant. It is a vibrational shift that you are craving, not the ability to purchase something. Once you are able to achieve and consistently maintain your personal alignment, a great deal of money will flow into your experience, if that is your desire, and you will very likely spend large amounts of money on things that you desire. But your purchases will feel very different to you then. You will not feel a need or a void that you are attempting to fill with that purchase, but instead you will feel a satisfying interest in something which will easily make its way into your experience, and every part of the process, from the inception of the idea to the full-blown manifestation of it in your experience, will bring you a feeling of satisfaction and joy. Do not let others set the standards about how much money you should have or about what you should do with it, for you are the only one who could ever accurately define that. Come into alignment with who you really are and allow the things that life has helped you to know that you want to flow into your experience.
Does saving for security work?
A man related to us that he once had a teacher who told him that to set money aside for security was the same as planning for a disaster, and that, in fact, the very act of trying to feel more secure would actually lead to more insecurity because it would attract the unwanted disaster. He wanted to know if that philosophy fit in with our teachings about the law of attraction. We told him that teacher was right in pointing out that attention to anything brings more of the essence of it to you, and so if you were to focus upon the idea of possible bad things looming out there in your future, the discomfort that you would feel as you pondered those unwanted things would be your indication that you are indeed in the process of attracting them. But it is absolutely possible to briefly consider something unwanted occurring in the future, such as a financial situation that makes you feel insecure as you consider it, which could cause you to then consider the financial stability that you desire. As you focus upon the security that you desire, you may very well be inspired to an action that enhances that state of security. The action of saving money or investing in assets, in and of itself, is neither positive or negative. But that teacher would be correct to say that you cannot get to a place of security from an insecure footing. Our encouragement is to use the power of your mind to focus upon the good feeling security you seek, and then take whatever positive action that's inspired from that place of feeling good. Anything that feels good to you is in harmony with what you want. Anything that feels bad to you is not in harmony with what you want. It is truly as simple as that. Some say that you should not want money at all, because the desire for money is materialistic and not spiritual. But we want you to remember that you are here in this very physical world where spirit has materialized. You're here in your very physical bodies on this very physical planet where that which is spirit and that which is physical or material blend. You cannot separate yourself from the aspect of yourself that is spiritual. And while you are here in these bodies, you cannot separate yourself from that which is physical or material. All of the magnificent things of a physical nature that are surrounding you are spiritual in nature.
Telling a new story about abundance, money, and financial well-being.
The law of attraction is not responding to the reality that you are currently living and perpetuating, but instead it is responding to the vibrational patterns of thoughts that are emanating from you. So as you begin to tell the story of who you are in relationship to money from your perspective of what you desire, rather than from the perspective of what you are actually currently living, your patterns of thought will shift, and so will your point of attraction. What is has no bearing on what is coming unless you are continually regurgitating the story of what is. By thinking and speaking more of how you really want your life to be, you allow what you are currently living to be the jumping-off place for so much more. But if you speak predominantly of what is, then you still jump off, but you jump off into more of the same. So consider the following questions, letting your natural answers flow in response to them, and then hear some examples of what your new story regarding money might sound like. And then begin to tell your own new and improved story of your financial picture, and watch how quickly and surely circumstances and events will begin to move around you to make your new story a reality. Do you have as much money in your life experience as you want right now? Is the universe abundant? Do you have the option of having plenty of money? Was the amount of money that you would receive in this lifetime already decided before you were born? Are you now setting into motion, through the power of your current thought, the amount of money that will flow? Do you have the ability to change your financial situation? Are you in control of your financial condition? Do you want more money? Knowing what you now know, is financial abundance guaranteed?
An example of my old story about money.
Here's an example of an old story about money. There are so many things that I want that I just can't afford. I'm making more money today than ever before, but money feels as tight as ever. It just seems like I can't get ahead. It seems like I've worried about money my whole life. I remember how hard my parents worked and my mother's constant worry about money, and I guess I inherited all of that. But that isn't the kind of inheritance I'd hoped for. I know there are really wealthy people in the world who don't have to worry about money, but they aren't anywhere near me. Everyone I know right now is struggling and worried about what's going to happen next. Notice how this story began by noticing a current unwanted condition, and then moved to justification of the situation, and then looked into the past for more emphasis of the current problem, which amplified the resentment more, then moved on to a broader view of perceived shortage. In other words, when you begin to tell a negative story, the law of attraction will help you reach from your present perspective into your past, even into your future. But the same vibrational pattern of lack will persist. When you focus upon lack in an attitude of complaining, you establish a vibrational point of attraction that then gives you access only to more thoughts of complaint, whether you're focused in your present, your past, or your future. Your deliberate effort to tell a new story will change that. Your new story will establish a new pattern of thought, providing you with a new point of attraction from your present, about your past, and into your future. The simple effort of looking for positive aspects from right where you stand will set a new vibrational tone that will not only affect the way you feel right now, but will begin the immediate attraction of thoughts, people, circumstances, and things that are pleasing to you.
An example of my new story about money.
Here's an example of a new story about money. I like the idea that money is as available as the air I breathe. I like the idea of breathing in and breathing out more money. It's fun to imagine a lot of money flowing to me. I can see how my feeling about money affects the money that comes to me. I'm happy to understand that with practice, I can control my attitude about money or about anything. I notice that the more I tell my story of abundance, the better I feel. I like knowing that I'm the creator of my own reality and that the money that flows into my experience is directly related to my thoughts. I like knowing that I can adjust the amount of money that I receive by adjusting my thoughts. Now that I understand the formula for creating, now that I understand that I do get the essence of what I think about, and most important, now that I understand that I can tell by the way I'm feeling whether I'm focused upon money or lack of money, I feel confident that in time I will align my thoughts with abundance, and money will flow powerfully into my experience. I understand that the people around me hold many different perspectives about money, about wealth, about spending, saving, philanthropy, giving money, receiving money, earning money, and so forth. And it's not necessary for me to understand their opinions or experiences. I'm relieved to know that I do not have to sort all of that out. It is very nice to know that my only work is to align my own thoughts about money with my own desires about money, and that whenever I'm feeling good, I have found that alignment. I like knowing that it's all right for me to occasionally feel negative emotion regarding money, but it is my intention to quickly direct my thoughts in better feeling directions, because it's logical to me that thoughts that feel good when I think them will bring positive results. I understand that money will not necessarily manifest instantly in my experience with the changing of my thinking, but I do expect to see steady improvement as a result of my deliberate effort to think better feeling thoughts. The first evidence of my alignment with money will be my improved feeling, my improved mood, my improved attitude. And then real changes in my financial situation will be soon to follow. I'm certain about that. I am aware of the absolute correlation between what I've been thinking and feeling about money and what is actually happening in my life experience. I can see the evidence of the law of attraction's absolute and unerring response to my thought, and I look forward to more evidence in response to my improved thoughts. I can feel a powerful leveraging of energy in being more deliberate about my thoughts. I believe that at many levels I have always known this, and it feels good to return to my core beliefs about my power and value and worthiness. I am living a very abundant life, and it feels so good to realize that whatever this life experience causes me to desire, I can achieve that. I love knowing that I am unlimited. I feel tremendous relief in recognizing that I do not have to wait for money or things to materialize before I can feel better. And I now understand that when I do feel better, the things and experiences and money that I want must come. As easily as air flows in and out of my being, so it is with money. My desire draws it in, and my ease of thought lets it flow out, in and out, in and out, ever flowing, always easy, whatever I desire, whenever I desire, as much as I desire, in and out. There is no right or wrong way to tell your improved story. It can be about your past, present, or future experiences. The only criterion that is important is that you be conscious of your intent to tell a better feeling, improved version of your story. Telling many good feeling short stories through your day will change your point of attraction. Just remember that the story you tell is the basis of your life, so tell it the way you want it to be.
Part 3, Maintaining My Physical Well-Being. My thoughts create my physical experience.
The idea of success for most people revolves around money or the acquisition of property or other possessions, but we consider a state of joy as the greatest achievement of success. And while the attainment of money and wonderful possessions certainly can enhance your state of joy, the achievement of a good-feeling physical body is by far the greatest factor for maintaining a continuing state of joy and well-being. Every part of your life is experienced through the perspective of your physical body, and when you feel good, everything you see looks better. Certainly, it is possible to maintain a good attitude even when your physical body is diminished in some way, but a good-feeling body is a powerful basis for an ongoing good attitude. And so it's not surprising that since the way you feel affects your thoughts and attitudes about things, and since your thoughts and attitudes equal your point of attraction, and since your point of attraction equals the way your life continues to play out, there are few things of greater value than the achievement of a good-feeling body. It is quite interesting to note that not only does a good-feeling body promote positive thoughts, but that also positive thoughts promote a good-feeling body. That means you do not have to be in a perfect state of health in order to find feelings of relief that can eventually lead to a wonderful mood or attitude. For if you're able to somehow find that relief, even when your body is hurting or sick, you will find physical improvement, because your thoughts create your reality.
Complaining about complaining is also complaining.
Many complain that it's easy to be optimistic when you're young and in good health, but that it's very difficult when you're older or sicker. But we never encourage using your age or a current state of failing health as a limiting thought that disallows improvement or recovery. Most people have no idea of the power of their own thoughts. They do not realize that as they continue to find things to complain about, they disallow their own physical well-being. Many do not realize that before they were complaining about an aching body or a chronic disease, they were complaining about other